Nerds at the Cool Table, and this is your ears don't need adjusting. This is a special WrestleMania recap podcast. I know that we've kind of taken a hiatus a bit. Life gets in the way, work gets in the way, but at some point we all assemble. In the meantime, right now, I'm doing sort of like a solo one-off sort of episode with one of our good friends and very good friend of the podcast, Super Duper Jesus.
First fan.
To sort of go over the big thing that happened this past weekend, which was WrestleMania 40. And I think for me, it's like I just needed to talk to somebody about this. I needed to sort of like get my thoughts out because this was huge. And for me, I can speak personally, like I've been a longtime WWE fan since I was like a kid, a teenager. And like a lot of us post Attitude Era, a lot of us took a step away from it, the way it was being handled, the storylines. And some of us sort of would peek in. Yeah, some of us would peek in every now and then to see how it was doing. We wouldn't really stay a lot. You know, it's just one of those things where like we knew it was happening. We'd check in. We knew who some of the wrestlers are, but it wasn't as like an intense fandom as it was when we were teenagers. And something has happened in the last, you know, pretty much when the year started, and, you know, The Rock coming back in a new way and the management of WWE changing. So making certain storyline choices and certain, you know, match choices that kind of started to pique the interest of a lot of us who grew up during the Attitude Era, during the Ruthless Aggression Era. And a lot of us were like, hey, what's going on here? Like, things are starting to feel very familiar. And, you know, from January 1st, you know, to like now, it's like that road to WrestleMania, it's kind of blown up, you know, pretty much the appeal, the mainstream appeal of WWE. And for me, like,
I've never talked to so many people that weren't closet wrestling fans, that were wrestling fans, but then these other people that were like, this is just the coolest shit in the world right now.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm walking, I could do a show and I'll be on stage and throw up a number one and hands go up that know what I'm doing. And it makes I wouldn't think that my type of workplace, though a lot of East Coast rappers love wrestling, it just surprises me that like I could do this and everyone knows what I'm doing and I'm throwing up the number one right now.
Bro, people, like, they were talking about wrestling on the Joe Budden podcast. Like, I was talking to my buddy, like, before we got on, and he was like, hey, I was listening to the Joe Budden podcast, and they were talking about wrestling. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's like the mainstream appeals, like, at least for this journey into WrestleMania, was huge. Like, whether it's The Rock, I think, you know, I thought it was like, oh, maybe once The Rock is gone, like, but I think, like, The Rock, what he did is that he sort of, like, I don't want to say ignited the fire, but really kind of just blew it up. And it made it like people who know him were like, oh, let me peek in. And he was sort of like the gateway drug for a lot of people to come back in.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, it was Bad Bunny. I know me and you talked about it. Bad Bunny coming Bunny back last year. Yeah, and like,
We got to shout out Damian Priest. You feel me? We're
going to talk about that. Oh, yeah. Congratulations on the new world champion. but like, The Rock essentially kind of got those people to come back. And in a weird way, like, he's had the layup and Triple H kind of, you know, dunked it. He, like, Triple H's storytelling, his booking has been pretty top notch, like, on every weekly show. And like all the characters that he has, like, there's something about, I'm not going to get too far before we start talking about the main topic, but like, there's something about, I've noticed that the roster feels very trimmed down. And like, there's like a good amount of players, like wrestlers sort of in that top roster that are kind of rotating in and out and kind of fighting against each other. And it feels very concise and it's very easy to kind of follow. I feel like the problem years prior is there were so many people on the roster that you were like, who is this person? And there was they didn't really tell us who this person was. There was no uniqueness about these people, but there's something that they're doing that was unique to the Attitude Era, was that every single wrestler has their own, like, their gimmick is, you can look at them and be like, okay, I know who this person is. Like, they tell you either the commentary or even the way they do these vignettes, like, to introduce and give us who this person is, you know? So they're cooking. They're cooking really well right now. It's, you know, shout out to Triple H. And shout out to Shawn Michaels, who's also cooking with NXT, because I never peeked into NXT until now. And the talent they got on there and the, yeah.
No, go anything ahead. Especially too, like, the best part about this whole change is The Rock before would only come in to be like, no, this is your champion, or I'm going to host it and play The Rock character. Yeah. I'm the Hollywood guy that everyone loves. Da-da-da. But this...
just plays the hits.
Rock, this heel Rock, this thing that you almost forgot existed in him. Because the one thing that people be like, The Rock's back? And I'm like, no, The Rock is back. This isn't Dwayne Johnson coming back.
Yeah.
No, like, we grew up in the Attitude Era hearing the jabronis, the if you smells, the shut your mouths, the, like, this rude, brash guy that my mom would be very worried about me watching on TV. And only someone from that era, which was Triple H, could be the one to come and help usher, because he remembers what got this shit hot, what got it flowing. It wasn't the big matches. It wasn't that. It was, no, all the main roster you have to love. You have to love it. And then a lot of I remember specifically because I got back into it during the pandemic. Like, I had always been in and out, but when, like, you and I were speaking earlier, like, when John Cena, Batista, Daniel Bryan, when those guys were around, that's when I kind of, like, fell off. That's when I really got into music.
Okay.
That became my new vice. But when I come back and I'm watching this stuff, I'm like, dude, this reminds me of how I left off. Like, there's only specific characters that we really care about.
Yeah.
If someone's coming in, you could tell they're going to break. They're trying to break them in. But everyone else is really just like, no, I know Cody's story. I know Jey Uso. I don't know why I want to care about Jimmy, but I care about Jimmy Uso. He's the initial one that keeps Roman in the face.
It's crazy. So, like, you're right. I think it makes you – caring about the characters is a big thing. Like, for me, I think, you know, for me, I kind of stopped watching when I got into film school. And I was focusing only on watching movies and TV shows. And as an adult, like – 2004, 2005 when I was in college.
So early.
Yeah, early. So, like, a good chunk of the Ruthless Aggression I didn't. You know what messed it up for me? I think it was. I'm trying to remember. I'm gonna be frank. I was not a John Cena guy. Like, when he came out with that Thuganomics shit, it was so corny to me. And I think it was because of my age. And I think, like, this was what, 2005? And I was like, what is this white dude? Like, I was just, I'm going to tell you how, like, into wrestling I was when I was a teenager. I remember this fool as he used to have a character called the Prototype. Yes. And he used to wrestle out here in L.A. That's how I remember John Cena. And so when he came to the WWE and he had that Thuganomics, I was like, isn't this the Prototype? Like, what the hell? Like, so I was not a John Cena guy when I was growing up, because I was like, it's not my thing. And I think, like, obviously, like I said, I didn't like Randy either, because I was like, who was he? Just seemed so bland to me, because I remember they were pushing him as, like, another Rock, because he was, like, third generation as well, like, you know, his dad and his grandpa, like, they were pushing, and, like, I wasn't into him because he was like, this guy's kind of bland. Batista, maybe, because he was, like, another big guy, and I was like, I liked his vibe. I liked Batista.
Latinos, we gotta support our Latinos.
Yeah, I know, right? But I think, like, the way, I think after Invasion and the way they were just sort of, like, a lot of the bigger WCW guys weren't in yet. I kind of got a little disappointed with that, but it was a slow, gradual, like, disappearance from that for me. I kind of backed away. But like I said, I always peeked in. I was like, oh wow, Goldberg is wrestling now. Sting is here now. Like, it was like one of these things. But during the pandemic, I remember it was like, their curiosity about the pandemic was like, how are they going to wrestle?
Yes.
It was like, they had like empty crowds. And I thought that was really interesting how they did that, how they were like, no, we're still putting on a show with, you know, no crowd and stuff like that.
That's what Roman to me took over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he started to do the
it was the big dog gimmick that he was doing. I remember,
but also the the dialogue in the ring. I had never heard dialogue in the ring.
Yeah, people talking.
And he's going over, he's like, oh, this is family. I'm the dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, like you. Oh yeah. My God, why is it? I feel so, it pulled me in.
Yeah, yeah. He was not a guy that I was into at the beginning, because I remember when he started with the Shield. I remember when the I remember that episode when the Shield debuted. And I was like, who are these dudes? Like, they had like this tactical gear and shit like that. And then like, I thought it was kind of cool and interesting, but like Roman, I wasn't a Roman guy either. Cause I was like, it felt like this Vince McMahon kind of going like, this is a cool character. You guys should like him. And it just felt very like shoved down our throat. And I was like, okay, he's The Rock's cousin. He doesn't have the same appeal as The Rock. Like, what is it about him? Right. And obviously, you know, peeking in, I would see Roman Reigns is wrestling The Undertaker. Roman Reigns is doing this. And then like pandemic, he was like Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. I was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, he's a Paul Heyman guy. Like, there's something there. And then when you mentioned right now the dialogue in the ring, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this really done before where like they're acting out in the ring. I found that interesting.
And it was not so, even possible to think about it prior because it's loud.
Yeah.
You can't really hear where you kind of can see a mouth
when
they do it, where it's almost like you can't hear what they're saying. And
they're
really doing dialogue. They're really fighting, like actually, like to me, it felt more real at that point. Cause it's like, you can't fake it right now. The crowd can get you hyped, but no, you really got to play this story out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, quick question.
The thing. Yeah, go ahead.
WCW guy versus Ruthless Aggression guy versus Attitude Era. Who do you got? Triple threat match. Were you a big WCW fan? I was a huge WCW fan.
I was not. I would watch Raw, not over Nitro.
I didn't have USA growing up. I only had TBS and TNT. So I was hardcore. Yeah,
that's
like,
why.
Me and my cousins would fight all the time. I'm like, Sting can't see Undertaker. Like, nah, you tripping.
Yeah.
Sting got them. Like,
yeah. I would only, the thing is like, I would switch back and forth. Cause remember they used to have Thunder at Thursdays.
Yes.
So when, you know, SmackDown and like, I think like there was that one before they got sold off, like you could switch back and forth between SmackDown and Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously Nitro and Raw. And so sometimes I would like switch back and forth just to see. And obviously I knew about it because of the video games and like friends that actually watched it religiously. If I was going to go with a WCW guy back in the day that really caught my, I want to say, I mean, I think Sting. Sting is like the guy that, you know what I mean? So if I were to do a triple threat match, WCW guy, Ruthless Aggression guy, and an Attitude, Undertaker, Sting, and did Bray Wyatt was in a Ruthless Aggression era, right?
I would say he was on he was a part of the very next wave, like the very end, because because those guys came in, I feel like around the same time as the Shield.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, would like if you consider the Shield to be Ruthless Aggression, then you have to say the Wyatt family. If not, if not, then we go on like the most darkest you could get back then is maybe Goldust, if you want to go there. No. Not even Goldust.
But see, Goldust, I see him in Attitude.
It'd have to be Stardust at that point.
Cody. That'd be interesting. I honestly think Bray Wyatt, Sting versus The Undertaker. Just that three triple threat would be really good.
Right.
Just that creepy. I love the creepy wrestlers. So let's segue into like the main sort of thing we're talking about, which is WrestleMania weekend. I wanted to go through every match, but I think we can kind of talk about the main event and sort of kind of weave in and out. Overall, I loved just the whole week long celebration they did production wise. I think the main, obviously, Saturday and Sunday were fantastic. Sunday being better than Saturday, and I feel mostly because of the crowd. The crowd on Saturday was terrible for me. Like, either the sound wasn't picking them up, or like everybody was just too cold to cheer.
That's what I've been hearing a lot of, because I've been listening to Pat McAfee. He had John Cena and Cody Rhodes on the show today, and they both said talked about how it was like pretty cold. Ariel, what's his name? I don't even want to say his last name. I'll mispronounce.
Oh, the guy from the MMA Hour.
Yeah, he was saying this main thing too. Yeah, it was so cold. Like it was mad. It was really cold. So for me, I was like, dude, that would pay a lot. Like that would definitely like make a difference to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, disappeared. Yeah, I think that like the day one, here's what I didn't like day one. It was the crowd felt a little dead, but I think it's because it was cold. The whole thing that they're doing now with sponsors, not my favorite. I really
you
don't
like
it. I think
like, you like Prime in the middle?
Okay, first of all, I thought Prime was going to be... I thought Prime was going to be the only thing that was going to be distracting, but there were so many distracting ads that I almost forgot about Prime.
Dog,
like the whole, like
when the LWO fought, it was Aguas Frescas.
And then for Bianca Belair and Jade and Naomi, they had Wingstop and people were like, why did the black girls get Wingstop? That's so true.
I mean, when Bobby Ashley fought, Snoop Dogg came to the ring and was announced.
They had the gin and juice. Wait, what is that? Is that like a what? Is that like a weed?
I think it's a seltzer alcohol or like some sort.
Oh, okay,
of,
okay.
It's a can alcohol, like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was like an weed infused drink or something.
Oh no, that's why the whole time they're like, and give me now, Snoop Dogg. You just hear gin and juice, lay back. They couldn't play the lyrics. They just have the beat going in the background. I was just like, damn, they really. But I ain't gonna lie, not to say anything, the one real, real cool part, Snoop Dogg announcing on day two, commentating on day two was incredible.
That was good. The thing is, like, he's just good in commentary and anything. Like, I don't know if you watched, was it the last Olympics? When him and Kevin Hart were kind of announcing some of the, that was hilarious. Like, so I think Snoop Dogg, like, cause I, also like he announced the Mike Tyson fight, when he came back.
He does all the,
and he, that was, too.
I think he does like,
yeah,
he like, hey, cold ass white boy.
Yeah. He's hilarious. I think that it's funny that they bring him in for like special matches, which I think was good. Cause I thought CM Punk was going to be the only special announcer for some, but the fact that they brought in Snoop Dogg and him, like, I was like, that's a good idea for pay-per-views. I think they should bring in, like, for one match, bring in somebody.
I wasn't mad. You know? And it gave the, like, when CM Punk did it on day two, it was like, oh, it's a little personal. He wouldn't give personal jabs. He tried to be as biased as possible. But every now and then, why are you focusing on me? You get the mat. Like, you know, like, like, why? Like,
yeah. Yeah. He was good. What else didn't I like? I thought that, let me see, because I wrote some notes. The ads was a big thing. I feel like a lot of the mistakes they did on day one, they improved it on day two. I feel like a lot of the camera work was a little weird on day one. Mm. They fixed it on day two. Some of the lighting. I was looking at it production wise.
Did you
but
like
the
production? Like it was very simple to me how compared to what they had done before.
Oh, the state?
Yeah,
the stage.
The XL, WrestleMania. It was
You know what's interesting, and I think I found it interesting because Triple H mentions it on day two during the press conference. Like he talks that it's like we're trying to do simple stages because like we don't just want to show the biggest, newest screen technology. We want to show the audience. We want to show the fans. That's why they're like, even, I don't know if you saw the Raw that just ended. They did the smaller stage where you can see the audience behind the entrances. And so like, they're trying to show audiences and kind of show like how packed it is. And I found that kind of interesting. Yeah, they used to do that.
90s when I remember when they would walk out to like In Your House, and it was just
people,
like this little
house. People were like all around them.
This ECW feel to it.
Like, yes,
they really
yes,
like make
yes.
it all stacked upon each other.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because like one of the things I wanted to say when we were starting was that like this year was the first time I had gone to a WWE event since I was like 14. And so I went to go see Raw when it was here in Anaheim back in February.
Yeah.
And it was crazy packed. It was fully packed. But I forgot how small the ring is. Like, I had totally forget, because you see on TV, you're like, oh, it's this massive ring, but it's so small. So it's very interesting, like, how they're trying to sort of make it more of an intimate kind of event, even though, yeah, like, yeah, you have these massive amount of people there. So I think that was cool. And I like that they're doing that. I like the stage. I like the color. The irony of, like, the first year that it's Triple H, it's green, like DX. So I thought that was kind of cool. DX took over WWE, which is awesome.
That's a subtle one. I didn't realize that. I really like that.
Yeah, think about it. Shawn Michaels is on NXT. He took over NXT and Triple H is WWE. Like, DX took over WWE. That's incredible.
Like, for X-Pac, there's probably a random X somewhere with it. That's why they're doing the XO.
But other things I didn't like over the weekend was the Hall of Fame event. Like, the crowd is terrible. Like, it's a serious event. And people over here, like, chanting, like it's an event. Like,
though, isn't it?
It's like, weird, though. It's a.
I thought if they'd done it in a smaller location, that would have been, mm-hmm, like, all right, cool. Like, that's really, like, I feel like, yeah, that would have, like, made, like, you know, it would have brought things more.
Just, it would have been more intimate. Like, it would have, like, had a better crowd. But the way, I guess people were, like, tired because it was after SmackDown, I think it should have been a little bit more. So it kind of, yeah.
I'm not,
on a different day.
I'm not a big believer in when artists do two nights and two shows in one night. Not a fan of that. You're asking a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just the crew, but people. Yeah. Like, yo, people have been waiting in line since the first show.
Yeah,
and you're just gonna make them just come and wait some more. Like,
yeah, and those things start early. Like, yeah, they start at like 4 o'clock.
I was gonna say, aren't usually most induction ceremonies like during the day?
Yeah. I would have
at the end of NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it was supposed to be. Yeah. It should have just been another day. I think having it right after SmackDown, it was a little crazy. And I just didn't like the crowd. The crowd was just weird. The responses were weird. They were like, you know, the Paul Heyman speech was incredible. But I think once he was done, it just the energy of the crowd just went down. It just not fun. That's kind of it. I liked the whole weekend. The whole weekend was incredible. What about you? What did you not like?
I will say this. What I did like, I like Pat McAfee. He kind of like bullies Michael Cole. That's great to hear.
Side note, by the way, I had no idea Pat McAfee is a year younger than me.
36?
I'm 86. I'm 86. I'm 86. I'm 38 this year. He's 87.
He's my age?
Yeah, he's 87.
No way!
I thought he was at least 45.
I didn't think he was that old because I know who he played with in college.
Oh, okay. He
played with like one of the quarterbacks of the Jets. Like, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's like an OG.
Yeah.
Fire quarterback over at West Virginia. So I do know of Pat McAfee because if you do like DUI kind of stuff, you will be put on ESPN automatically.
Yeah.
So I know of him. That was cool. What I didn't like that the entrances weren't that spectacular. Like, usually someone got someone with them. Like, you know, someone's doing stuff. Kevin Owens bringing the golf cart. Nah, we could have done it better.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Lil Wayne entrance with Jay?
I was so annoyed. It bothered me so much because one, Jay Uso's from San Francisco.
Yeah.
You could have brought
E-40, bro.
E-40, you could have brought fucking I Am Sued, Saves the Jet. There's so many people.
Yeah.
Larry June, shameless promotion. Just so many people you could really do.
Yeah.
And Lil Wayne, and then the thing that like Lil Wayne's like, it's on you. It's on you. I'm like,
just ad-libbing.
And then like that, if there's one thing we are going to say, one thing I didn't like, that match pissed me off.
That match was terrible. Was garbage. Like, yeah.
And the thing too is, your dad's Rikishi. Both y'all dads.
Yeah.
Like, y'all could have had this crazy fight. Rikishi could have been like, Jimmy, don't. Jay, don't. And and you could keep the, like, there could have been so much with that fight. But really, it was just like, the super kicks are the new punches.
Dude, okay, that's another thing. That's one thing that coming back in and, you know, into WWE and watching this, I'm like, everybody does the spear now. Everybody does a super kick. Like, I remember super kicks was Shawn Michaels thing.
How do you feel about kicks, period? Yeah. I see kicks thrown around like it's like these motherfuckers playing soccer.
Yeah. Like, kicks were like the thing that was like, oh, like, they kicked you, you're fucking like, down.
Shawn Michaels,
yeah,
the only one that got that lethal kick. Only one.
Yeah, and everybody does a fucking super kick now.
Yeah. I was even surprised Roman didn't get one off. Cody got one off in the match.
Yeah, he did. You know, okay, so that's an interesting thing. Kind of going back to the thing we were talking about, how, like, comparing the Attitude Era with now. People, when we talk about the Attitude Era... Huh?
Move selection. Moves. That's the only thing
to move. Well,
there are some extravagant wrestlers that can do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff is like, I don't know if it's because everyone's already done it. They just like the whole
You know what I realized people don't really do?
And Drew McIntyre got the same finishers. Think about it. Just about. It's a 1 foot.
The big super kick. They all have another a kick finishing move.
All it is, it's like, and I'm picking my foot up as we're talking about this. Like,
bro, so this is what I was going to say. So, like, back in the day, everybody was a brawler. I noticed that we either had a brawler or you did submissions. And that was the only two kind of thing. If you were doing kicks, you were a Japanese wrestler. And if you're doing any kind of crazy high flyer, you were a luchador or a Japanese wrestler. I feel like the wrestling is better now. There's more variety of wrestling. But the finishers are a little, like, they're not as exciting as the finishers back then. And one of the things I notice now, there's not a lot of people who do submissions.
No, no one's
like, I remember back then there was a lot of people who did submissions. You had submission guys. You don't really have that.
An ankle lock. That was a submission. Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter.
Walls of Jericho. Submission.
Mm-hmm.
Mandible claw.
Crossface.
Submission. Crossface. Mm-hmm. Submission. Like,
yeah,
the only ones that
figure four,
What was that one?
Figure four. The figure four.
Yep.
Yeah.
All these. The only submission you see nowadays is they might try and throw you a guillotine, like with Roman Reigns.
Or armbar for sure. Yeah.
Those are the only real ones we see now.
And Cody hit a figure four this early, weekend too. I know.
Early on. Too.
Yeah. 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 So we were talking about things that we didn't like. Let's kind of move it on. Like,
that was where I went into it with the matches. That was
the Usos matches.
That was the one thing I did.
Matches. That was like very weak, surprisingly. And it was one of those matches that I kind of was looking forward to. I thought it'd be like, I think on paper it sounds incredible. Brother versus brother.
The first big crack. The first big crack in the bloodline was when Roman threw Jay by the face, and then he started shooting Jay like dog shit, and then Jimmy hits him with sidekick out. The only match that people forget, one of the only matches that Roman Reigns, I don't know if he won or lost. No, later on he lost, but
it was SummerSlam, right? Yeah, where he
SummerSlam,
lost.
Jay just hit him with the kick to the face, and you went back to him afterwards. Come on, I was hoping Solo was gonna get involved. Like, that could have been such
a
big match.
Yeah.
That's like three years
I think
building on that one. Cuz
their fight play. Yeah. Their fight on stage during the main event was better than their whole match.
It almost
when he spears him off the fucking stage.
I almost made up for it. I'm like, "Oh!"
Yeah.
I might forgive you.
So let's kind of move on from what we did like. I'm kind of just going to go through quickly with some of these matches. We had the Rhea versus Becky match at the beginning. We had the six-pack ladder match. Rey Mysterio, Andrade versus Dom and Santos Escobar. Jay versus Jimmy, we just said trash. We didn't like it. The big three, which was Jade, Bianca, and Naomi versus Damage Control. Gunther versus Sammy, solid match.
How did you feel about Sammy getting that? Was Sammy the right
I thought
guy?
It was good.
Take the belt off him.
Yeah, the build up was really good. I think they really, like, whoever wrote that, whoever produced that, did a really good job of that build up. It kind of kind of was like riding that line of corniness with the whole Rocky inspired sort of like thing with Chad Gable and him, like, but they sense. Kind of, yeah, but yeah, he's has that kind of vibe. But they did it. They really made it exciting for him. And when he hit that move that he hadn't hit since he was in the Indies, like that brainbuster move, that was some 2K24 special move. Like that was incredible.
I wanted to rewind live TV at that moment, but I knew I couldn't. Yeah. But when I saw it, I'm like, what the fuck did he just, and the way Michael Cole, yeah, like, brainbuster, I was like,
yeah, I had to watch it on social media again because I was like, what move is this? Like, it was crazy.
And the way he, like, it's such a hard, it's just a real quick, like.
It's like he has him on the shoulder, like he hits, like shoulder, their shoulder hits his shoulder.
Shoulder hits his shoulder down to the knee.
And then they drop, yeah.
Because it was like boom, 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 like that. And then lands on, it's like his head hits twice or something.
Yeah. It was solid.
Yeah. That was, I just wish, no, like, the only thing I wish he would have done is I wish he would have like jumped into the crowd when he won the title.
Like that. Yeah, that would have been fun.
That would have been cool. That would have.
But
been
he like, had, he had to, he had to do the Rocky thing. He had to go to his wife and hug his wife. Like it was a Rocky thing. They had to hit that. So I thought it was well done. Gunther, I think Gunther's going for the title, for the main title. That's his next step. I think he's going to be one of Cody's first kind of people that he's going to go up against.
I can easily see that. I can also see him randomly deciding to like randomly get in the mix of this Drew McIntyre CM Punk thing. I don't think so.
I see what you mean.
A part of me wants to believe it just because he's just, I feel like him and Drew McIntyre could be the next big back and forth. Just because of their size. They're both like, they're both not from here. Like I feel like there is a story there, especially like a redemption story.
The reason I think Gunther's going for Cody's title is because I feel like the world heavyweight title, I feel like it has the type of wrestlers that go for it are a little different. Like they're more like brawlers, scrappier guys, a little bit more like, I don't know. There's something about it. Like, no, the real workhorses have like wrestlers. Like, and I feel like the WWE title is more face of the company, celebrity, sort of like big, like
fancy.
I think he could do it. I think Gunther is that guy.
I can believe it. I can see it. I can see him holding it.
Yeah.
I can see him randomly winning like King of the Ring or like something to get that match.
Oh, I didn't even think about King of the Ring. Yeah.
Not Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like I can't see him winning a Royal Rumble, but I can see him winning a King of the Ring. Then he ends up fighting.
Yeah.
Like then he gets that match.
Yeah. King of the Ring would be incredible. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
And it's very Gunther-esque. It feels like to me, you know?
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. And most of the pay-per-views this year, are like overseas. So like you got the Bash in Berlin, which I feel like he's going to be the guy for that. And then Clash in the Castle in Scotland, here's where I think Drew might actually win that title. In Clash of the Castle in Scotland. I think he might win it on his home turf. I think they're going to build out that world title thing. And if CM Punk is good, I think CM Punk and him at Clash of the Castle is going to be the match. And triple Drew's going to beat him.
Triple threat?
It could be triple threat. Yeah. Let's move on. I want to talk about the other ones, but I feel like there's just so much to go through. Let's talk about the day one main event, which was Rock Roman versus Seth and Cody. What do you think of the tag team match?
I was very happy because let's just put it out there, and I need this to be known. I acknowledge the tribal chief. I think Cody Rhodes is great, but I'm gonna keep it real with you.
Yeah,
Fan. We all thought I even thought Roman Reigns was not looking in shape. He wasn't healthy. Yo,
mm-hmm.
He was there. He was cut. He was.
Yeah,
Roman Reigns was looking like he was ready to go to work. The Rock. The Rock still had it. I was very surprised. He does hit that little movie pose a lot now. Like, he'll wait. You know, Michael Jackson's it a lot. You know, like, look around real quick, take it in. But, man, he can still move. He can still move. I was very surprised.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, a lot of people thought that The Rock was just going to, like, sort of, like, hang back And I think that's why they did it a tag team, so that like he could sort of stay back, but he still has it. Like once they like, it was a little slow, bit of a slow start, mm-hmm. but once they got out of the ring, it was like, it's like for him, it looked like he was right back to riding a bike. Like he was back there being the asshole in yes. the ring, beating the shit out of you. Well, like when he like took a sip of water and spit it in front of Seth Rollins, it just, I got flashbacks to when he fought Mankind.
Yes.
In that one match where they fought all over the fucking arena. Like yes. I started getting glimpses of that old Rock. I was like, oh, okay. And him taking those big bumps, when he took that rock bottom from Cody onto the table, I was like,
yeah. One table to the what other. The fuck? It was one table to the other. Like,
yeah. From the Spanish announce table to the main table. Yeah.
He got hit with that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's still going.
Yeah.
And he's like, final bossing it. Like, nah, I'm finishing this match off. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is great. Yeah.
I think he's the MVP of all of WrestleMania.
Yes. And Samantha Irving.
Yeah. This with who?
Samantha Irving.
Oh, and Samantha. Oh, of course. Shout out to her. No. I think Seth is definitely the MVP because like he wrestled two nights in a row and like literally kind of was the catalyst for Roman losing it because like Roman just couldn't help himself and hit him with the chair because he was getting flashbacks.
Save that one. Not yet. Taking this to that one yet. Not yet.
Yeah. That one
broke my heart for two reasons. And I'll tell, once we get to that point, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But technical wise, I was very impressed. I really like when Cody almost got.
Which one are we talking about? Night one.
Yes.
Night one. Okay.
When Cody kind of got the Rock ready for the Cody cutter, I was like, yo, is he really going to hit him with it? Is he really going to? Or like when Cody off the ropes, like hit him with the, like his. I was like, yo, this is a good match. Like it picked up the pace that was needed. And it kind of like, it made me excited for day two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I went through all this to get to here. All right, cool. Tomorrow has to be, they're going to make sure it's way better tomorrow. Not to say that it wasn't that great, but it didn't, it was missing that like kabam through every fight. It was just a little bit missing where Sunday was like, every fight just had something going.
I think they did improve that, but I think here's the thing about what the Rocks, the tag team, I think it was a pure Attitude Era style match because like I said earlier, like the wrestling is better now than it was back then. Cause if you think about when we talk about the Attitude Era, a lot of times we don't really talk about matches. We talk about story points, storylines, weird little moments, like big spots. Like, you know, we think about like
it's going to be off the cage, off the the wild crazy shit, not the
they were brawlers. Like that's why we don't really talk about these matches. And so like I feel like this one, it showed you, okay, we're gonna give you Attitude style match, and obviously the Rock is the perfect person to have. And like when they started sort of brawling and doing these crazy spots, I was like, oh, I see the difference. Like the matches back then were slow, were fucking just heavy hits and like crazy spots. That's what this match was. And that's why when we look at match day two with Cody versus Roman, everything was going. I was like, oh, wow. Like they're wrestling. These motherfuckers are doing their shit and not just hitting spots. But what they did on day one was like they really amped up the drama, which was the good stuff about the Attitude Era, was that those little moments where like they hit a spot, somebody talks some shit, they go out of the ring, like all these little moments that sort of drive the story and kind of build it up. Like Cody getting booed because he interrupted the people's elbow. I was like, oh, like the way they're working the crowd was incredible. Like I was surprised. Like I was like, they booed Cody. They like, because he interrupted the people's elbow. And like, I thought like it was like a good showcase of like, okay, you want Attitude Era, we're going to show you and we're going to compare it. And I was like, okay, I could see why what we're getting now is going to be a mixture. We're going to get Attitude Era style storylines with the new era's like wrestling skills.
That's a really, really great point you just pointed out. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, right now everything is like clicking in my head.
Yeah.
Also, too, how did you feel about The Rock's sell? Did he oversell? Did he not sell the spear that he took?
Oh, when he got speared?
Yes.
That was funny the way he reacted. But The Rock is the best, one of the best sellers in the game, right? But that moment surprised the fuck out of me. Like I had my laptop with me. I almost fucking dropped my laptop because I like popped so hard for it. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't expect, for some reason, I didn't expect that there would be that kind of like things happening. But when he speared him, I was like, oh shit. Like, what did he do? Like, he fucked up, you know? So I don't know. The Rock is an overseller and he makes it work. So it made me laugh. You know what I mean? Like, cause his face looked like one of those little kids when you hit them and they don't cry. They just like make the face and then start crying. I thought it was fine.
All I can think about is the Cardi B yell, which is like, ah, and I just like, that's like the meme I've been seeing all over the internet.
Yeah. 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 What did you think of the fact that The Rock pinned Cody? And Roman didn't do any of that.
It's the final boss. Yeah. It made me go into the next night being like, I believed, even with a part of me was like, yo, the best part about the villain is the villain still gets what he wants. Even when everyone's rooting for the other way, like, he still gets what he wants. Even when at Mike Tyson's height of fame, people were like, someone beat him. No one could beat him. Like, I was ready to be like, yes. It's all good. It's over. But it needed to be The Rock pinning Cody. Because with the whole final boss, the blood, like, it just made it seem that when The Rock pinned him, it just made me feel that, like, there's no way you're going to pull this off. There's no way. Yeah. I don't know how, like, if you do this, the Avengers have to get together, which, goddamn, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And you've been on that and that's the
end game. Yeah.
Yes.
No, and I know I told you, I was like, oh yeah, last year was Infinity War. No, I guess it's Saturday is Infinity War, Sunday is Endgame. Cause like it was the whole like Captain America sitting down in Wakanda with everybody dusting off. Like, that's the shot. Like, Cody was sitting in the ring, kind of a mirror to last year, just going like, shit, what do we do now? Like, even the cut onto Seth was like, it's like, what do we do now? Like, what's going to happen? Kind of thing. Like, it was poetic, cinematic. I loved it. Really amped up the drama. Like, it was a great match. I think, like you said, it picked up in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we got that sort of payoff. And then it's like, oh shit, like, what's going to happen tomorrow? Let's move on to day two. Like I said, I wanted to talk, like, day one was jam packed. There's a lot that happened, but I kind of want to keep it moving forward. Like I said, everybody that participated was great. Rhea and Becky's match was great. I loved it. Like, I love Rhea. Rhea's like, I love Rhea. Let me just say that, put it out there. everybody did a great job. But then let's move on to day two. I think day two we had, obviously, like, we talked about the Drew match versus Seth. Let's talk about the main event. Like, I think that's the big one. I think, like, everybody did great on day two.
You have to give what's his name, and I have to when we do this, you have to give credit to Logan Paul. I am very surprised on how good he is at this, but even more surprising is how he's excelling. Like, those are two beasts in this game. Yeah. They're not no fakes. Yeah. And he played it so well. I was the whole match, I'm like, okay, when's it gonna happen? Like, when he won, I legitimately was like, no fucking way. He's like the white version of Eddie Guerrero. I love it.
No, I get you there. Because while I was watching it, I was like in the group chat and Julian was watching it too. And he was like, Logan Paul. I kind of explained it to him a little bit. Like, yeah, Logan Paul's like, and the comparison I told him was like, Logan Paul is like Shane McMahon. Remember when Shane McMahon was wrestling back in the day? Like, it was like, what an asshole. Fuck this guy. But the bumps this motherfucker was taking, he was doing fucking elbows from the rafters and shit. Like, he was taking like suplexes through real glass by Kurt Angle. Like, he was an asshole, but like, he was doing the work. And so that's what Logan Paul's doing. Like, yeah, he's an asshole. I don't really.
No, go ahead. Go finish that.
No, he's like an asshole. I don't really care for his content, but he's doing the work. He's like doing these crazy ass moves. I'm like, okay, he just reminds me of Shane McMahon and that whole dynamic. So yeah, that I give him props for that as a wrestler.
And even at that, like, he's not just taking wild bumps. Like, technically, like, he moves in the ring like a real wrestler.
Yeah.
Shane would be there for, like, he's getting thrown around for a little bit, and then he's getting sneaky punch, big spot. Logan's actually, like, in there hitting moves, trying to go for the, trying to do some leg moves. Like, even just the simple, like, just swinging people on the way down, like, when they throw people, mm-hmm. like, on the arm, like, the arm. Not the arm bar, but the arm swing. You could actually be really good at this.
Like, well, that's like, what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the wrestling is better now. I feel like they actually, like, and for celebrities, for example, like, remember back in the day, like,
I think you just titled this episode, The Wrestling is Better Now.
What? But wrestling's better now. That's a, there you go. Wrestling's better now. Even with celebrities, look at Bad Bunny's match last year at Backlash. Like, dude did the work. Like, he's, like, literally legitimately doing the work. So I think, like, with celebrities now, they're not just doing it like, oh, just take a bump or do this. Like, no, if you're going to be a celebrity, you're going to get in the ring. Like, you're going to do the work. And I think, like, they've been with Logan Paul and Bad Bunny, like, these guys, like, legitimately are wrestling. And so, yeah, shout out to Logan Paul for that. And which I feel like, it was like a way to elevate him a little bit. Yeah, like yesterday, obviously, like, big night for him because his brand was like in the center of the ring, which I hate. And I heard the drink's trash, but that's a different conversation.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. But yeah, that was good. And Randy Orton, the funny thing is, like, I didn't like Randy before. I like him now for some reason. I don't know why. And I always tell, like, I tell people, like, what's his name? Kevin Owens is, I've watched his stuff, and like, I always tell people, I'm like, if I was a wrestler, I'd probably be Kevin Owens. Cause this is a guy that clearly he's my age. He pretty much does all the shit that I probably would have done. Like, oh, let me fucking do a stunner as my finisher. Let me do like a backflip. Like, that's who I would be. I was like, I would do all the greatest hits of all my favorite wrestlers as a move kind of thing. I like him. I like his sort of like work with the crowd and stuff like that. I watched his match with Austin at WrestleMania 38. Like, I didn't see it. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. So what I've done, obviously, in the build up to all of this is, like, I've been kind of rewatching and kind of refreshing my memory on stuff that I missed, you know, and a lot of these wrestlers, like, that I've missed before, I'm like, okay, they've won me over.
But now let's get to the main event.
Yeah. Let's talk about this main event. What did you think overall?
I thought it was wrestling-wise, it was a great wrestling. Like, match-wise, they didn't go too crazy with, like, the finishers. Like, it makes sense that you need three Cody cutters to take out Roman Reigns. That was the one thing I liked. Roman Reigns got hit with six Cody cutters in the night. And it was always in the three. It was in the set of three. So to me, it was like, oh man, you need a lot to take this guy out. Like, he's the big machine. Roman did his thing.
Yeah. Roman hit a Cody cutter.
Yeah, Roman would just. I just loved how he just was like, I am the. This isn't my first rodeo. This isn't my first time. Like, he just being there, just doing whatever he wanted. And I loved it. And Cody just resiliently just kept coming back. The one thing that tripped me out the most that I was not expecting was that first interference from the Bloodline. Jimmy just got him just
perfect. With a super kick.
Did you catch the almost giveaway in the beginning? One of the first things Cody does, he goes to grab something from under the ring.
Oh, under the ring, yeah. There was like a hand.
And you see someone move.
I didn't catch it when it was happening.
I wonder if that stopped him from pulling something out.
I didn't catch it when it was happening. I catched it after when everybody was like, oh, on Twitter was like, oh, look, somebody was under the ring. What did you think? Let's talk about the result, though. What did you think of the result? We're going to get into the interferences in a bit. But like, what did you think of the result? Like, Cody finally finishing the story or finishing that part of the story and taking Roman out. What did you feel about that? as you acknowledge your tribal chief.
Tearing up inside right now. It was the, I will say this, it was the best way for him to go out. If him and The Rock fought, I would have been pissed. I'm going to keep it honest with you.
Yeah.
You know who's going to win. You already know who's going to win.
Yeah.
This one, I'm rooting for Roman, but I legitimately went into it being like, I don't know if he's really going to win.
Yeah, that's what I, when I texted you when it was starting, it feels 50-50, despite
watching a real fight, like a real match. Like,
I really
don't know who's going to win right now. They've built this up so long. Like, there's no way Roman Reigns should lose. But also, there's no reason why Cody shouldn't win.
Yeah.
It was perfect build, the perfect match. And even the fighting styles were great. The fighting styles complement each other. They both could brawl.
Yeah.
They both get some moves. Roman's going to overpower you with his like guillotine and throw these crazy chokeholds and arm bars. And then Cody's going to jump off the ropes and kick you. Cody's going to do some slashing.
Yeah.
Like, it just like, to me, it was like, this is the only way that you could beat the tribal chief.
Yeah, I got to give it up to the... winning? What was that?
How did you feel about Cody winning?
I loved it. I thought it was exciting. I've obviously known about Cody. I don't remember him, obviously, when he was in WWE. Like, that's when I was out. But obviously, when AEW was starting out and, like, I saw, like, Cody sort of being in the public eye, I was like, who's this guy? And then I was like, oh, he's, you know, Dusty Rhodes' son. He's Goldust's brother. And then I was like, oh, okay, I see who he is. And, like, when he came to WWE, I was like, okay, this guy came to WWE. And then that's when I found out he was in the WWE before. He was Stardust. So I don't remember him as Stardust. And I just like, I was like, okay, he's a good guy. And so like when I started really watching it, I would watch his matches. And I was like, okay, he's good, right? He's exciting. Yeah. When I watched them live.
Oh yeah, when you went to Raw.
That's when I was like, yeah, I was like, okay, this motherfucker's good. Because the way he works the crowd, the way he like pumps up the crowd, plays to the crowd, is really good at like building up the story. He wrestles. He's very exciting. And I was like, okay, this guy's fucking good. And I could see, I was like, okay, I could see why they're making him the face of the company. Like on the cover of WWE 2K24, on like, he's kind of the face, you know, he's biggest merch. Kids fucking love the guy. Like there was a little kid in front of me who was like screaming for Cody. I was like, okay, like hit, like kids loving him, that tells you he's the guy. But the good thing about him is that he backs it up. He's really good on the mic. He's really good wrestling.
Really good on the mic.
So I was like, okay, he's not like just being forced down my throat as like, oh, you got to like this guy. Like, no, he has it. He has the whole package. So I was rooting for him. I was like, okay, he's the perfect underdog, the way they did it. The buildup, he has the history, just like The Rock. His family was like, he's in a weird way, he's like the perfect baby face right now because family history. He was in the WWE before, had a weird gimmick, but he kind of like came, you know, did his own thing, and he's kind of come back and become the hero. He can go toe to toe with The Rock, with somebody from the Attitude Era, and like make you feel like, because for a second it looked like the feud was Cody versus The Rock, not Cody versus Roman. Yeah. Like the way they made that feel like, no, it was The Rock only wrestling Cody. So he can go toe to toe with the older guys and like also be the guy who helps all the other good guys. Cause even that, like his relationship with Jay and how he sort of, you know, like helped them and like,
they were tag
champions. Which is crazy. So like, he's like the perfect guy for it. And so like, I was excited. I was like, I hope they do it right. Cause the thing with WWE before, when Vince was around, he would fumble it. He would just be like, well, no, this is what I want. And they would fuck it up. So that was my worry. I was like, are they going to do the thing they do and just fuck it all up? Right. So I thought he needs to win. But then also when you were saying, because it felt 50-50, speaks to how good the writing and the development is now, because if they don't give him the title, they're going to find a way to write it in such a way where like, it makes sense for the overall story.
Yeah.
But I feel like they wanted to go more of a traditional, like they're in Philadelphia. He's an underdog. Like make just give us the happy ending. Let's see how that goes.
He's and American so like nightmare. The you're in the first state.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's like they gave us that happy ending, even like the way it ended, like they all the good guys came out, put them on their shoulders. It felt like the ending of like the perfect happy movie.
The only part that pissed me off about that,
mm-hmm.
how's CM Punk gonna come out with Seth Rollins or come see Seth Rollins? And they were all like, everyone was beefing at the Elimination Chamber with CM Punk. That was the
but
only
like
thing
they're
that
the
that was the only thing that got
they're the good guys now. Well, that the, people were saying like, oh, John Cena and CM Punk are in the same ring.
He's our Bucky. That's what he is. He's our Bucky.
He is. I think he's their Bucky because the fucked up arm. Yeah. Like from the Cody Avengers. No, but like, so I'm saying I thought it was a fantastic ending. Like they couldn't have ended in a better way. It felt like both the end of a series or end of a season and like the beginning of a new era. Like they said, the Triple H era, Paul Levesque era. So I think even though we had a feeling how it would end, the way it got there was fantastic. And I think that's why people are the people who like are hate on wrestling, like, oh, it's fake and scripted. It's like, yeah, the endings are scripted, but people fucking falling off onto tables and kind of like beating the shit out of each other and doing cardio for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Like that's real. And the thing is like, what is exciting is how you get to the finish line. That's what kind of builds up the drama.
I'll even argue with some people. People be like, oh, you watch wrestling? I'm like, yeah, that's my novella. That's my soap opera.
That's what it is. It's like watching.
It's the male equivalent of watching a, like, you watch like a Vanderpump Rules. Like anything off of Bravo, it's real life kind of scripted. This is just actual action packed. Like, just going into it, I'm like, dude, how is this? Like, when Cody won, a part of me, like, even though I knew it was going to happen, I was still sad inside.
Yeah.
Because
you think, like,
for the last 4 years, and then going back to look at what Roman's done and how he got here and the history, and then goddamn A&E dropping that documentary right before the weekend, the Roman Reigns. Dude, I was like, no. How can I not cheer about this guy? He's in remission. He had cancer, but now he's back. How can you not cheer for the guy?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, and him being like, yo, I'm Michael the People. I'm not the corporate. I'm like, dude, he's saying things where I'm like, dude, you're my Joker. You're the greatest one of all time. I don't know really who can stop him. And it's no pressure to Cody, but just the build to this, the writers, like, God, it just makes me even more excited for what this year has to come.
Yeah, I think so. I think with Roman, it definitely gives the feeling of like ending one era. And that was the era, obviously pandemic era, like that whole thing. Like it really feels like we're ending a certain era and we're starting into something new.
Yes.
And in a weird way, it's like his time is done. Obviously he needs to, in real life, obviously like breaking kayfabe or whatever, yeah, he's done though. Like when I read more about like him and kind of like how he's kind of dealt with the leukemia and all that, and how like the medication he takes really fucks up with your arthritis, and like I was like, how is he fucking wrestling? Like that is insane that he's able to do that. So it really kind of props to him, obviously, like that he's doing that, you know, while being ill. So I think this is a good time for him to sort of take that step back and kind of just be like, okay, you did good. You did good, kid. Like that's kind of what it felt like at the end. Like when, you know, I don't know if you saw the video, they posted on social media, like him and Paul Heyman hugging right at the stage after the match. Like he looks like he's really emotional. It's like, you did good, kid, essentially. But I thought it was great. I think the way it all went, like you said, the match was incredible. But like, let's quickly just talk about the interferences. You talked about Jay and Jimmy. Obviously, we talked that was better than their match. What did you think of that John Cena? First, let's go in order. What did you think of the John Cena entrance?
Solo fucked up, first and foremost. Solo fucked up Cody with the Samoan slam, and then in the spear, and then Cody kicks out. I'm like, and then Solo's getting mad at Roman. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Yo, like, yeah. Solo's kind of stepping out right now. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then when you hear the music, it was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. They were just feuding. It makes the most sense.
They were
sense.
Beefing. Yeah.
So when he comes out, I'm like, yeah. But yeah, like, that shot of like John Cena looking away and you don't see with the ring
and the Rock.
If you smell, I was like, no. I was like,
no. And when they got into the ring, and they faced off at each other, and they did the Rock versus Hogan sort of like watching the crowd just sort of go crazy and looking back and forth. I was like, give us another match. For some reason, I was getting hyped. I was like, okay, I want to see a Rock and Cena match again.
That's why I'm wearing this shirt. Yeah.
What did you think? So I'm going to say this. I think me and you have talked about this. We all thought Stone Cold was going to be the next interference, right? Shout out to Stone Cold. I'm drinking 316 right here. We all thought it was going to be Stone Cold. What do you feel about the subversion of giving us The Undertaker instead? Because I have thoughts.
I see it two ways. Okay. I can live with it being The Undertaker. I can live with it because he is all like his character, not as The Undertaker. Like, he looks cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all black, the hokas, the bandana under the beanie, you know, like I'm into the look, I'm into the feel. And it made sense because at that time too, during the Attitude Era, everyone had to wrestle The Undertaker. And if there's anyone that you know The Rock, like, I don't know how many times he beat The Undertaker, but I know it wasn't that
many. They never had a match at WrestleMania either.
Yeah. So it's like, yo, the fact that it's like, I don't think of anyone like off the top of my head, even think saying Kane, there's no one that could bring a louder, someone pointed this out earlier.
A louder pop.
The pop just by hearing a gong was, it could have been just as loud as the shattering sound of glass. I don't think there's anyone that could compete with just one sound.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. There, I feel like, at first I was like, obviously I wanted Austin, but literally, bro, when I heard the gong, I fucking screamed. Like, me and my sister were watching this shit. We felt like we were kids again. We were like, my sister was, because I had to catch my sister up on everything, right? And she was just like, okay, I explained to her who all the wrestlers were, who's who, how do they compare to who? And she was like, The Undertaker, what the fuck? Like, I was like, so am I. What the fuck is he doing here? And so, like, that's why I was thinking, like, I don't think there was anybody else that could garner pretty much equal the glass shattering reaction.
Who could fight the final boss? In all games and all, there's always someone that can handle the final boss. That's handled the final boss. That the final boss is kind of scared of.
Yeah. I look at it like this.
Like, yo, no. Like, what? The gong was one thing, but when it went pitch black, I was like, no.
When it went dark. And then he disappeared them. He did that magic trick thing that he does where he disappears people. I was like, oh shit. Cause here's another reason. And I thought about it also. I thought about it so many ways, story-wise, logistically, in history, right? I think logistically, I look at it like this. Austin coming in, it takes like this. Austin comes in, either has to walk from the stage all the way to the fucking, you know, the ring. Austin has bad knees. He doesn't run like John Cena. John Cena could run
a little 4x4.
He could do the ATV, but that's another logistical thing. He would go, and also like him, like getting out of the ring, like Austin is just for chaos, right? Yeah. But the thing is, like, the chaos needed to be the match itself. And I feel like in a strange way, Austin would have taken away a bit from the match. Because obviously, like, Rock, Stone Cold, flashback, like, they haven't fought, like, their aura together is bigger than anything. And that would have overshadowed the match, right? And Austin is chaotic, right? Austin does a stunner. He had to leave. It gets all crazy. People are hyped because they want to see more Austin. The Undertaker, you can use his magic tricks, right? The Undertaker goes black. He appears behind the Rock, does a choke slam. Very simple move. Choke slam, goes dark. They disappear. That's how you have, like, you take away the logistics of having to run from the stage, you know, trying to run back up the stage. So, like, logistically, it makes sense. And, like, again, the only other sound that could pretty much top or be equal to the glass breaking. Storyline wise is another thing. I think because Roman ended Undertaker's streak. Roman was the only one who ended his streak. And also, he's been defeated by all Paul Heyman guys, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman was the architect of Undertaker being defeated. So he's been beefing with that family. Like, I saw a meme that said, damn, he's been beefing with that family since Yokozuna, right? Also, I didn't know this, but somebody posted about this. Undertaker wrestled Dusty. Dusty put him over when he was starting out.
I did not know that.
I didn't know this. Somebody posted it. I was like, oh, I didn't know this. Also, but now thinking about it overall, like you said, who else can defeat the final boss? In a weird way, Undertaker is the final boss of WrestleMania. He had a streak for 20 years. He's the
ghost of WrestleMania.
You can't have a WrestleMania. He's the spirit of WrestleMania, essentially, right? You can't have a WrestleMania without the Undertaker. Also, realistically, Undertaker was always the guy in the backstage area. They said that he was always the checking the wrestlers. He was the boss of the fucking backstage. Who better to check The Rock than Undertaker?
This is true.
Like, look at how he looked at him. Like, he was like, what the fuck are you doing? Choke slammed him and everything. So the Undertaker makes more sense storyline-wise, history-wise, and logistically more than Stone Cold. Stone Cold would have been euphoric, right? It would have been crazy, but like, how does it apply to the story? And I feel like with the long-term storytelling they're trying to do, with the way that they're really trying to connect all the dots, like, I think Undertaker made sense. I thought it was fantastic. I think it was a surprise because we all wanted Stone Cold, but they surprised us with the Undertaker. I'm not disappointed that it was the Undertaker. I like it. And it makes
disappointed.
Yeah.
And also too, like, I don't know if that stunner would have came off clean.
No, I don't think so either.
The choke slam is such a simple 100%.
Yeah.
I will say this. I was so sad that Dean Ambrose did not come out with Seth Rollins. I was so sad.
Okay. We didn't talk about that. So
that was right before.
That was before. Cause that's when Seth comes out. I was surprised. I was like, The Shield. I was like, did they get Dean Ambrose like from AEW? Cause I know he's in AEW. I was like, I was waiting for him to come through the crowd. I was like, did they really do it for like a second? I was like, oh, they collaborated with AEW right now.
I would have lost.
But then Seth comes out.
I was hoping it was just going to be Dean Ambrose was going to pop out and just fuck up The Rock real quick. And then Seth and Roman were like going to have like a little toe-to-toe real quick. But I just, oh my God. For those like 5 seconds, I was like, no way.
Yeah, same.
Dean Ambrose right now.
Same. And I think it was done well. And like Seth was playing mind games with Roman. He came out in the Shield gear and like that shot where like, you know, Cody's on the ropes, Seth is on the ropes and Roman has a chair and he's like, fuck it. I'm going to like hit Seth. And that's what he did.
He said, fuck this fool.
Yeah. And he fucked him up. And I was like, okay. And he did it. That was on purpose. Like, remember when we talked and I talked about the end game, like Seth is Tony Stark. He sacrificed himself. He's the one who sacrificed himself for the greater good. He finally.
I know how right you are with that one. Fuck, dude. Damn.
Because I was wondering too. Because I was like, okay, he's Tony Stark, but how does he sacrifice himself? We saw it. He played the mind games, you know.
Seth told him a while ago. He goes, "I'll be your shield.
I'll be your shield." Yeah,
and you really did. I ain't gonna lie though. That chair shot was so clean. That was such
a clean
chair shot. That
Did you see the videos of the side by side when Seth hit Roman with a chair shot 10 years ago and this one, like they even fell the same way? I was like, look at that shit.
It was great, man. It was great. Because I've actually gone, what made me become a real Roman Reigns fan was I went back and learned about the Shield. And I was right away was like, it's just whatever. I love the craziness of Dean Ambrose, but Roman, I was like, yo, this dude's cool as fuck. I was like, oh, I liked how he was doing his thing. And so like when I saw that, I'm like, no way, they brought him back. But then then he just got him. Cody just hit him with the three.
Yeah.
The three.
Yeah. Let's kind of wrap it up a little bit. I feel like I'm telling you, like, this is one of those, like, WrestleMania was a big weekend, but I kind of want to keep it sort of concise. Overall, what do you think this goes? I watched Raw, but I was kind of like working on other stuff, so I didn't get a chance to really finish. I saw the intro where like The Rock essentially came back, and kind of it was like a weird, awkward little promo where he was just like, "Don't break my heart again." The Rock gives him something, give Cody something. Everybody's like, "What did he give him?" I'm curious where that's gonna go. I know The Rock's realistically is gonna go film a movie. We know that. Yeah. But like again, this feels very, what the new era starts now. So, I'm excited. It feels very up in the air. Doesn't feel very predictable, which is kind of great.
I don't even know who Cody's first opponent. I can't even say or try and figure out who Cody's first opponent's going to be. That's how great I think everything is. You could say CM Punk, but he's hurt. You could say, I don't know. We have a new world champion in Damian Priest. Like, I really don't know what's about. Is the Judgment going to have a full takeover? Is Awesome Truth really going to be like the next big tag? Like, there's so much.
Is Rhea going to dump all of them and go be full on babyface? Which I thought was going to happen today, but it didn't happen. But Rhea's definitely like bigger than them, so yeah. We'll see. Like, I'm excited. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. But I think overall, WrestleMania season was incredible. I am glad that we got a chance to talk about it. I'm glad we got to nerd out a little bit about what's happening, what we've seen in the past. But yeah, like I'm. Thanks for joining me. Yes, I think it was I think it's generational. I think it's going to be like, you know how we look back on like WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania X8, WrestleMania 19. Like, I think people are going to look back at WrestleMania. Yeah, people are going to look at WrestleMania 40 and go like, okay, that was a good one. So I think it's generational. I think it's definitely one of those like when people look back, I'm like, oh, this was the start. Because I look back at WrestleMania, was it 14? When Shawn Michaels fought Stone Cold, Stone Cold won the title. You know, that was like felt like the beginning of the Attitude Era. Like there was always like after WrestleMania 14, it was the Attitude Era. So that's what this was going to be looked at as a generational one. So I thought it was great.
I loved it. I loved every second. And I love the fact that I got to be a guest on the show tonight.
No, I'm glad you did. Thank you so much. Once again, everybody, follow us at Cool Table Podcast. All Cool Table Pod on all platforms. We barely use Twitter now, but we do have an Instagram. And find us all on all the any podcast sites that you follow, Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts and everything else. Jesus, thanks a lot for being on this, bro. I appreciate this. So thanks, man.
Thank you for having me, David. It's an honor, like I said,
to be on
favorite podcast show.
All right. I'm going to...